स नो वनन्तु
स वीर्यं करवावहै
तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
John chapter 4, verses 19 to 23.
Yasya sarve samarambha, yasya sarve samarambha, kama sankalpa vajjita,
kama sankalpa vajjita,
jnana nidagda karmanam, tamahu panditam buddha,
tamahu panditam buddha,
yasya sarve samarambha, त्यक्त्वा कर्मफलासङ्गम् नित्यतृप्तो निराश्रयः
कर्मण्यभिप्रवृत्तोऽपि
नैव किञ्चित् करोति सः नैव किञ्चित् करोति सः त्यक्त्वा कर्मफलासङ्गम् नित्यतृप्तो निराश्रयः कर्मण्यभिप्रवृत्तोऽपि नैव किञ्चित् करोति सः निराशीर्यत चित्तात्मा त्यक्त सर्वपरिग्रहः शारीरं केवलं कर्म कुर्वन्नाप्नोति किल्बिषम् निराशीर्यत चित्तात्मा त्यक्त सर्वपरिग्रहः शारीरं केवलं कर्म कुर्वन्नाप्नोति किल्बिषम् यदृच्छालापसन्तुष्टः द्वद्वातीतो विमत्सरः समसिद्धावसिद्धौ च कृत्वापि न निबध्यते यदृच्छालापसन्तुष्टः द्वद्वातीतो विमत्सरः समसिद्धावसिद्धौ च कृत्वापि न निबध्यते गतसङ्गस्य मुक्तस्य ज्ञानावस्थितचेतसः यज्ञायाचरतः कर्म समग्रं प्रविलीयते गतसङ्गस्य मुक्तस्य ज्ञानावस्थितचेतसः यज्ञायाचरतः कर्म समग्रं प्रविलीयते। So in verse number 18, he talked about Atma and Anatma. Atma is a non-doer. Anatma, the mind and intellect are constantly acting. But this action of the mind and intellect and the body is being out of delusion projected upon oneself by each one of us. Therefore, this verse is trying to correct that perception. In the first portion of the verse, when he said, Akarma in Karma, is just trying to tell us this point. That is, Atma, that is you. Your original nature is Akarma, is a non-doer. Right? And in point number 2, when he said, Karma in Akarma, what is he trying to explain when he says karma in a karma? Action in inaction. Meaning, sometimes your mind is not active. You don't find yourself in action. Right? So you say, I am not active. Meaning the mind is not acting. Mind is never not acting. The potential of action is always there in the mind. You may be sleeping. And this is more relevant to the context where Arjuna is, Lord Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. Because Arjuna has given up his weapons temporarily and said, I am not going to fight. So when, for example, you have an argument with your children or with your spouse or anybody for the matter, first thing you will do is, you will stop whatever your role is. You will stop doing action. You stop talking. Right? Inside, what is the feeling? Let me see how they are able to
manage
without me. So in other words, inside feeling is what? Doership. But outside, you are not doing everything. So he is saying, mind is something that will act. That is action. Mind is impossible to be without action. Mind itself means movement. It will act. It is a doer. Right? Atma is a non-doer. So without understanding this, by stopping your actions, you don't become a non-doer. Rather, you identify with your Atma. Having identified with Atma, thereafter, even if you do something, you will still continue to be a non-doer. In fact, that concept is explaining from 19 to 24. He's talking about jnani. Jnani, what is the difference between jnani and us? Jnani and us, both of us, all of us are essentially Atma. But in the case of a jnani, he knows that he is Atma and he identifies with Atma 24/7. In our case, we do not know that we are Atma, or probably we have heard from the scripture, but our identification is never with Atma. Our identification is only with body, mind, intellect. So from 19 till 24, she is talking about jnani. Right? Remember that. Let's go to verse number 19. Yasya sarve samarambha, yasya sarve samarambha, kama sankalpa varjitaha, kama sankalpa varjitaha, jnanagnidagdha karmanam, jnanagnidagdha karmanam, tamahu panditam buddhaha, tamahu panditam buddhaha, yasya sarve samarambha, kama sankalpa varjitaha, jnanagnidagdha karmanam, tamahu panditam buddhaha. He whose undertakings are free from desire and expectations. He whose undertakings are free from kama and sankalpa vachita. Whose actions are burnt by the fire of knowledge. Him the wise call a sage. He is called as a sage. Tamahu panditam buddhaha. Wise people call such a person a sage. So who is a sage? He says, whosoever's undertakings, meaning actions, activities, are free from kama and sankalpa. Kama sankalpa vivarjita, meaning that person's actions are free from desire and expectation. So basically what he is saying is, jnani also you will find in activity. You will find jnani also in action, not in inaction. You may find jnani also acting. Acting means what? It can be on the war field. It can be on a science lab. It can be on a lecture or giving lecture on Bhagavad Gita. If you go anything, right, what we at the moment think is, these actions only jnani will do. Believe me, these actions jnani will not do. But here he doesn't say like that, he only says undertakings. Whatever activities a jnani is seen performing, he is free from desire and expectation. So if you sit down with desire and expectation, though you are seen in inaction, you still don't become a This is what he is trying to convey to Arjuna and through Arjuna to all of us. Right? So what is he saying? He whose arambhas, meaning undertakings. There are so many actions, voluntary actions that happen in every one of us. Likewise in the jnani also. If you remember, we discussed about prarabdha karma. So in the case of a jnani also, prarabdha karmas are there. But as far as he is concerned, he has no desire or expectation inside when he is doing that action. So it is not what you do, but how you do. Really, it is not what you do, but how you do. Him, a wise person, calls a sage. Because if you close your eyes and think of a sage, your mind will picturize a muni with beard, unemployed, you understand? All these concepts. But here Lord Krishna is trying to say, a sage can be in a jeans and t-shirt. Lifestyle may be different. Please remember, I am not ridiculing the lifestyle of a sannyasi. That has its own, purity and beauty. But in our mind, the moment we say jnani or a sage, only that picture comes as if something apart from action. Not somebody who is very much in the dinner roll of market really, and yet can be a sage. Really? It is easy for you to recognize a jnani who is also a sannyasi. It is very difficult for you to even digest this concept of a jnani who is in the dinner roll of the market field, especially in the battlefield. As it were massacring so many thousands of people. So he says, he whose undertakings are free from desire and expectations. What is desire? We discuss that in between. A bridge connecting your present state of unfulfillment and your future state of hope of fulfillment. Future hope of fulfillment, that is desire. If a jnani who is identified with the Atma is fulfilled totally, he doesn't have any desire. He simply does the action, has no expectations. Has no expectations doesn't mean that his actions will not have a result. See, please understand, any action, whosoever does it, right? Any action, whosoever does it, will have a consequence. Believe me. Whether you did that action expecting that consequence, not, your action will have a result. But mentally, while doing the action, craving for that result, he doesn't have. His actions also will have consequences. Krishna telling Arjuna to fight on the battlefield had consequences. Are you with me? So, in other words, a jnani is one who acts out of total contentment. In the book, Swamiji gives the example of a dreamer after having woken up from the dream and has known that he is a waker. Imagine that he is entering into the dream and acting. Do you have any desire or anything to achieve in the dream? When you go to sleep and you are dreaming, you have friends, enemies, relatives, flora, fauna, everything in the dream, which you do not understand why you are in the dream, that they have essentially come from one waker's mind. But when you wake up from the dream and come to the waking state, when you have become the waker, now you clearly understand that entire dream has come from my mind. Now your identification with the waker is complete. Now supposing you get an opportunity to get back to the same dream with this knowledge that you are a waker, there would you have any desire to do anything, because you know this is a dream. Exactly like that, when a person has identified thoroughly with Atma and has understood that he is a non-doer, he allows his body, mind, intellect to act according to the prarabdha, but he remains detached. His actions also will have a reaction, consequence, but it is not something that he was expecting while doing the action. That's all he said. So in the case of a jnani's action, it is done with total awareness. Therefore he says his actions are burnt in the fire of knowledge. Like a seed when it is roasted in the fire. Thereafter, the seed cannot germinate. Yes or no? When you roast the seed in fire, then you sow it in the soil, it will not germinate. Our actions today are germinating further samsara. The cycle of birth and death we are caught in, because remember, the action itself becomes the cause for further vasanas. So our actions today, which are done without identification with Atma, done totally immersed in ignorance, we produce further vasanas. So he says, since his actions are burnt in the fire of knowledge. Now why does he talk about fire of knowledge here? Because, for example, who is a non-doer? Atma is a non-doer. Who does the action? The mind. Anatma. Okay. Now at the moment, the consciousness, the Atma, is expressing itself through the anatma, the mind. Are you with me? So say there is Mr. X and Mr. Y. Mr. X also is none other than consciousness expressing itself through a set of body mind intellect complex. Why also the same? Let us take the example, Mr. X is a jnani. Y is a jnani. What is the difference between the two of them?
Awareness
is the difference. Jnani, Mr. Y in the example, knows that he is Atma, his consciousness, and he identifies with consciousness and functions through the body, mind and intellect. In the case of Mr. Yes, without this knowledge, he is functioning. Without this knowledge, he is functioning means he will function as if he is a doer. Are you with me? So, this knowledge is the difference. So, what is the difference between bondage and liberation? Knowledge that I have always been liberated. I am always Atma. Atma is never going to become a doer at any point in time. And mind is never going to be a non-doer at any point in time. So therefore, really speaking, I don't have to do anything or not do anything to reach that state of realization. I need to gain the knowledge. Having gained that knowledge, I have to make that knowledge my own. Today, for example, through the scriptures, we come to know these things. Through the conversation between Arjuna and Krishna, we are coming to know of these things. But now we have to do our sadhana, reflection, then make that knowledge our own. Today, this knowledge is not our own. This knowledge is Krishna's, this knowledge is our Guru's. Our sadhana is then making this knowledge our own. So therefore, in gaining the knowledge is where the focus is. That is why we studied in the third chapter. Even in fact, Arjuna asked this question only. If you remember, Jayasi Chet Karmanaste Matabhuti Janardana Tatkim Karmani Gore Vam Yavriyasi Kesha Vyamit Shrenara Vakya Atkim Mohayasi Vame Tadekam Vakanishchitya Ena Shreyoha Atmiya. If you consider knowledge superior to action, why do you compel me, impel me, force me to do action? For which the answer given was, you need to do the action to purify your mind. Chitta Shuddhi. By purification, you will allow the knowledge to get established in you. Today what is happening? The Guru is giving knowledge. It is not getting imbibed in you fully because Chitta Shuddhi has not happened. That is me. You have to get into that Chitta Shuddhi mode. That is possible only through Karma Yoga. So when you do Karma Yoga, you get purified. That purification helps you to gain more knowledge. That more knowledge, slowly, slowly, when you go on establishing yourself, you will become a jnani. When you have become a jnani, thereafter, whatever actions happen to you, they are actions fired by the knowledge. You will be doing it with awareness. They will not further produce vasanas. Then you are free from samsaric cycle. So ultimately, it is the knowledge that I am Atma, the non-doer. Excuse me. You cannot make the mind a non-doer. If you forcefully try to keep the mind quiet, what does the mind do? You discuss this enough. Mind will silently start gathering more force. It cannot be made to forcefully quiet. If you increase your awareness, mind will slowly dilate. Instead of that, if you directly go on forcefully doing something with the mind, foolishly, that I will try to make the mind the non-doer, is not possible. So he whose undertakings are free from desire and expectations. So it is not, the problem is not action, the problem is your desire and expectation. These desires will give me moksha. These actions will give me moksha. And I want moksha. These actions will give me punya. And I crave for that punya balam. This is called desire and expectation. I do an action with an expectation. Who will do an action with expectation? Only a person who is unfulfilled. If you have eaten enough, but too much, at that time if somebody offers something more, what will you say? Not now. Not now. You may want it later on, but now you will say, not now. So whenever you are contented, only then you will say, no. So when he says he is free from desire and expectation, what is that desire? We explained to you before that desire is a scheme and a thought flow running from you to the world with the hope of fulfillment. So one desire to fulfill, another desire comes, another desire. So what is it? You are, Vedanta is saying, you are essentially Atma, which is Paripurna. Not knowing this, you have an imaginary want. To fulfill that want, your thoughts are running towards the world. And the thoughts running towards to fulfill the hope of fulfillment is called a desire. So desire, moment you said desire means future. Desire means future. So when you say he undertakes action not with desire, then what makes him undertake the action? Anybody?
He's
already wiped out. That is why he is jnani. No, she said to wipe out karma. We are talking about a jnani here.
Yeah.
The nature manifests itself. Swami Ramatirtha, he had a prarabdha. His nature was to talk. He talked. Vivekananda's nature was to talk, he talked. Right? Saint Tyagaraja's nature was to sing. He just sang. All are jnanis. What do you mean? There may be another jnani who has a great karma yogi. He just did karma.
Yes,
it is.
Karma is wiped out already in a person.
The momentum is there,
na? And then, so that's. Yeah, I mean there is no desire, yet when action happens by that person, it is the nature of the principle, the momentum.
Yeah, we discussed the momentum in your remember. When you switch off the fan, the fan doesn't stop immediately, the momentum continues, the fan moves. Similarly, the momentum is there in every realized soul as well, the mind has been moving. Now it has been switched off, meaning the mind has been, and you have risen above the mind, which is mind, it's no work. Now the momentum is not going to stop immediately, that will continue. When the momentum continues, the nature continues, as far as he is concerned, he has never identified, he doesn't identify with it anymore. It allows the momentum to continue, whichever field it is. Doesn't matter. It could be for 50 years, 100 years, what difference does it make? It could be for just 2 years. It really doesn't matter. Believe me, as far as the jnani is concerned, he is not doing an action out of expectation.
He's just a medium.
Similarly, we say, for example, when you go for a walk in the morning, let's say your office is about 3 kilometers distance from your house. Since it is close by, you sometimes go by car, sometimes by walk also. Every morning you have the habit of walking. And you may be walking up to your office and coming back. But when you walk in the morning, 3 kilometers and 3 kilometers back, 6 kilometers, did you have any tension? Because you were not walking to get to the office to accomplish something. Your intention was not to achieve something, you just wanted to walk. Are you with me? The very purpose was walking. Walking was never a means. Are you with me? Same person, when he comes home, gets ready and goes to office, maybe now he's not even walking, he's going in his car. Even the best of car, but he is heavily tensed. Why? Now this going is not the purpose. It is a means. Do you understand? So what he is saying here is, he who is undertaking, you just undertook it for the sake of that action only. जो भी उसके द्वारा आएगा, I am ready to the totality. I am ready to this with that attitude. That is called surrender. That is called awareness. There is a beautiful poem called Olive Tree. Two hermits for midnight prayer, they plant olive seeds. And one hermit was praying every day, "Oh God, please give sunshine, please give rain, please give shade, etc." But his olive tree perishes. He is curious to know what happened to the other fellow's olive tree. So he goes to find out, and that tree is thriving very well, it's growing. So he says, "How is it, my brother? Tell me. While my olive tree died, yours is thriving." He said, "Laid I on him no condition. I entrusted it to him. He who made it knew what it needed better than a man like me." Notice that. "Laid I on him no condition. I entrusted it to him, entrusted my olive tree to him. He who made it knew what it needed better than a man like me." If you understood what Lord was trying to say in verse number 47, chapter 2, the famous verse of Karmani Eva Adhikarana, Ma Padeshu Katachana, a jnani simply does. Action itself is what he does. And whatever comes out of it, he uses. But that is not what we do. For us, through action, I must attain happiness. He has already attained happiness. All his actions are done out of happiness, with happiness, not to find happiness. This is the major difference. In our case, action is not the purpose. Life is not the purpose. We should have purpose in our life. So Lord Krishna is trying to tell, in the third chapter, if you remember, he introduced what is called as Swadharma. So he is saying, "Arjuna, your Swadharma is Kshatriya Swadharma. Why don't you express your Kshatriya Swadharma beautifully in the context? Why do you have to make it a means to attain something? So if you know your original nature is Atma and your Swadharma is Kshatriya, identifying with your nature, if you act as a Kshatriya, you will incur no sin. Your actions will not germinate from the asanas. Even though you are found to be killing few people on the battlefield, you are still a sage. On the contrary, supposing you find somebody trying to save so many people from dying, deep inside ego is, "I am going to save so many people from dying." That means he is thinking that these people are possible to die. So he is identifying himself also to the body. He is identifying others also to the body. Such a person, Lord Krishna said in the second chapter, he is a fool. He who thinks that Atma can be killed, he who thinks that Atma can kill, both are fools. So he whose undertakings are free from desire and expectation, meaning he just does the action as an end in itself. Action is not a means to attain happiness. He does the action with happiness. Why? because his actions are burnt in the fire of knowledge. What knowledge? That I am Atma, which is a non-doer. Since he has no motive, he has no vasanas produced from that action. So therefore, what should be a fact that you should look into is, action should not further create vasanas. Vasanas can be increased even by not doing the action physically, but mentally thinking about it. Sankalpa means thinking about it. One of the meanings of sankalpa is going on thinking. You did an action, you came back, no problem. But you go on and think about it. They say, in brain study, the difference between animal's brain and human brain. Animal, they go through an experience. They experience joy, we say. That's it. Thereafter, they carry on to the next one. Whereas in the case of human brain, the human brain registers this happiness that came from this object and it goes after that again and again. That is me. So in the case of animal, that is why Jai Krishnamurti said, animals are unconsciously perfect. Human beings are consciously imperfect. He said that. Consciously imperfect human beings. Animals are unconsciously perfect. Meaning their design, their brain is such. They went through an experience, okay. But is that what happens to us? Go on thinking about it. By constant thinking, you create samsara. What do you mean? By constantly thinking about the object, you create samsara. So you may be physically not doing something, but mentally sitting and thinking about it, you will be creating samsara for yourself. Because you are full of desire and expectation. See, Ulta this verse. He whose undertakings are free from desire and expectation is what he says. He who has no undertaking but is full of desire and expectation. That's the Ulta of this verse, right? What is this verse saying? He whose undertakings are free from desire and expectation. Now, Ulta is what? He who has no undertakings, but with full of desire and expectation.
This is most of us are like.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying.
Yes.
This is what Krishna is trying to teach us here through Arjuna, because Arjuna's example is like that here. He is telling Arjuna, you may go to the forest and sit down, but will you be free from your desire and expectations? In fact, you will go and sit with a radio. Want to know what is happening, live commentary on the Kurukshetra battle. Who is using? I am not saying this to please say what I am going to say now in a light hearted way. But nothing personal. When we are doing class for 1 hour, I know you all put your mobile phones on silent mode. But you put your mobile phone on silent mode and keep next to you on the table. When the phone comes, the blue light comes. Then you want to know what is happening. Just for 1 hour. You understand? Your mind, which you want to do. All of us have this problem. Now, I can't do this because I'm connecting class, let us say. Supposing if I am attending, the mind, anybody's mind. I'm just saying this. See, the point is, you are physically not doing, but your mind is not at rest. So, Ramita says, intense work is rest. When your body is engaged in action, your mind should be at rest. That is Vedanta. But our problem is, body is at rest and mind is at work. Right? Body is at work, at rest, mind is at look.
It would be amazing to see this intense that's coming up.
So in the case of Ajnani, his undertakings are without any thinking that I have to get there, I have to do this, I have to do that. Without going somewhere. There is nowhere to go. I am Atma. Atma has nowhere to go, nowhere not to go. Right? So life itself is a purpose in this case. Now these things are to be understood correctly. Because what will happen if you don't understand this correctly, if you misunderstand it? Earlier at least you had some purpose. Now you drop that also, you later become a jnani, you become tamasic. That is not what we are saying here. Please understand these things correctly. Now you don't go about saying I am living, just life is my purpose. Right? You are basically trying to fight with your mind without understanding things correctly. These things should happen, will happen as the knowledge gets digested. So sankalpa means thinking.
Sir, our South Indian food has an example now which we can tell them. See, all the South Indian foods which we do, you know, we don't have to procure anything from outside. It's from the rice or basic things, and we have an elaborate process of doing something at home for 2 days or something. You know, have a bath, you have to get up 4 o'clock, cook within this time. And then somehow I've started doing those only for the last 2-3 years, and I presume that this intense work with mind rest, because mind is only in the puja, but I see Northern and generally it's like more inviting people, more outgoing, so in that way, you know, the mind is distracted. But if you see the South Indian, all pujas, everything, it's only at home, and it is only from the home ingredients. The food is very simple for a puja, I mean, not very elaborate. Like that Varalakshmi Noombu, I feel, is a very good example of
what are we connecting that here?
Because intense work is there with mind, we are not going out. On puja days, we have this, having a bath, not interesting. So
it's not the question of actually calling people or not calling people.
No, it's the intense work.
Exactly. Basically, what I'm trying to say.
Pujas are done for this, na?
See, any puja that you do, if you do it with awareness and not mechanically, you could still be doing it egoistically without calling people. You could still call people and be doing it non-egoistically. Right? It's internal. So where is the full-time awareness of truth? That apart, what he is trying to say is sankalpa vivarjita. Kama sankalpa vivarjita. There is a desire to go to heaven. And there is constant thinking of going to heaven. Both is not there in this case. He does action itself as a heaven. Are you with me? That person finds happiness now. He is happy now. The problem in the world is, everybody says, I will sacrifice today for tomorrow. So now the question, now when you say I will sacrifice today for tomorrow, now what do you mean by that?
Means to gain something tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So I am ready to suffer today to enjoy tomorrow. Now enjoy tomorrow means, have you ever come across tomorrow? Never. You always come across today only. Right. So the problem lies in this understanding that I will find something tomorrow. You can't find something tomorrow which is not existing today.
But sacrifice means not expecting anything, you know, that itself.
No, but I'm saying generally, what do we do? I will go through difficulties here. Why? Such a promise is given to me that if I live like this, when I die, I go to heaven. When I go to heaven, if I missed 100 ice creams here, 5,000. Right? I have got 5,000. And not only I'll get 5,000 there, that 5,000 will give me happiness which is worth 10 million. You understand? Like that, the concepts of heaven tomorrow will be put in us. So the problem, the difference between a jnani and a ajnani is both walk. But in ajnani's mind, tomorrow is there. In jnani's mind, no tomorrow. Since he has no tomorrow, he is always happy. We have tomorrow, we are never happy. In the hope of happiness, we die. Misunderstand these things, what will you do? You will. At the moment you are like this, let's say, for example, you are wanting to get somewhere. Neither have you found the happiness, nor are you doing something which you did earlier. You will be in a miserable condition, you will be hypnotizing yourself. And there will come a time when you will say, I've been foolish, fooling myself. Fooling myself is the worst situation. Isn't it? So I have to be careful in understanding these concepts. So when will I be able to take undertakings without desire and expectation? When I am content. So the next verse he talks about a jnani who is ever content. Tyaktva karma phala sangam, tyaktva karma phala sangam, nitya tripto nirashayah, nitya tripto nirashayah, karmanya vipravrittopi, karmanya vipravrittopi, naiva kinchit karoti saha,
naiva
kinchit karoti saha, tyaktva karma phala sangam, nitya tripto nirashayah, karmanya vipravrittopi. Having renounced attachment to the fruit of action. Tyaktva karma phala sangam. Having detached, renounced from what? Karma phala sangam, meaning to the fruit of action. Nitya tripta. Tripti means
content.
Nitya tripti means daily, always content.
Ever
content. Nirashaya, depending on nothing. He doesn't do anything though he is engaged in action. When a person does an action out of tripti,
effortless.
Action is effortless. And when a person does action out of tripti, with tripti, that action, even though he is doing, he is a non-doer. This is what I was telling you today. There are people who do an apparently noble act. But that is to find the tripti. So you are not given because you should become free from your difficulty. You are given because I will find
satisfaction.
If by giving I will not find satisfaction is told to me, then my giving will stop. So in giving, where is the attention?
Myself.
That is not giving. That is taking. Now without the whole thing, there may be somebody who is taking, but he is not taking, he is giving. Do you understand this concept? The first one, the reverse the whole thing. This is the idea when a jnani goes for a diksha, a sannyasi jnani goes for a diksha, when jnani takes, he is not taking, he is giving. This is very difficult to understand. First portion you understand, even though I am giving out of atripti. Even though he is taking out of tripti. He is not taking, this is the body mind intellect. Body ke liye hunger hai, dena chahiye. Why should I have any problem in taking, somebody giving and giving into the body? As somebody else I am doing it, as a facilitator. You understand, that is his real intention inside. And when he goes for bhiksha, if he doesn't get any food, that is okay. He will tell his body, sorry, today you are going to be fasting, that's it. Are you with me? So there are some institutes which says only one, how do you go for bhiksha? You don't get it, that's it. Some people say three, doesn't matter, one, three, five, whatever. But the idea is what? You should be having no ego in taking. If there is ego in taking or giving, both amounts to atripti vala. So there are jnanis who apparently take, but they are givers. But there are jnanis who apparently give, but they are doing it out of atripti. So they are taking, they are not giving. So having renounced the attachment to the fruit of action, jatva karma phala asankam, karma phala asankam, having renounced the attachment to the fruit of action,
ever content nitya siddhah nirashrayah, depending on nothing, he doesn't do anything, though he is engaged in action.
Now, renouncing attachment to the fruit of action means what?
It's the same, whatever the outcome is, it doesn't matter to me.
What is that attachment to result means?
When you desire that you want some,
they want
the wants, they are
playing
with the
wants.
Expectation.
The bridge you are talking about.
See, a lot of people misunderstand this as renouncing the attachment to the fruit of action means they will do action, any fruit comes, they will not touch it, they will give to somebody else. Because they are not attached to the fruit. This is why a lot of people say Bhagavad Gita is very practical. What is it saying? It's saying I should work, and when the fruit comes, I will give it to somebody else. You understand? That is not what he's saying. What he's saying is renouncing the attachment to the fruit of action. Meaning, while doing the action, his mind is not in the fruit. Are you with me? When the fruit comes, the fruit may be success, fruit may be failure, fruit may be sincere, fruit may be praise, whatever may come, he accepts fully. He goes through it. Are you with me? But it makes no difference to him, that's a different matter. Already we studied Apuryamana Machala Pratishtam Samudra Mapa Pratishtam Yatra. Like how water from all sides enter the ocean. Makes no difference to the ocean. Similarly, all enter through the senses into him. Makes no difference to him. That is how Gandhi lives. Verse number 70 or 71. We saw in chapter 2. Right? Now, he is talking about the same Gandhi. So he says, having renounced the fruit of action. Like I said, he does the action today. And tomorrow, maybe he will face tomorrow as today. That fruit of action has come. For the action he did yesterday. He'll face them. He'll go through them. It is not to be understood as he will not touch the results. Are you with me? That is not to be understood like that. Then you say, Bhagavad Gita is correct. Meaning, karma diye vadikala, mahabaleshu vadachana. That means, you should not touch the phal. Phal kisi aur ko de diji. You don't mind if it's pain, but what about success? You understand? Kisi aur ko de diji. Or pushkin. You understand? So what he is saying here is, depending on nothing. Again, depending on nothing doesn't mean that he will not take the help of a car to go from one place to another, because he should not be dependent. This dependence that he is talking about is mental dependence. Physically, we would be dependent on each other. Human kingdom is different on the plant kingdom, animal kingdom, all that. They are different on us. Each one is different on the other. At the physical level, dependent on nothing doesn't mean that I will only go by walk. Oh, see, this fellow has got in the car, he's definitely not a man. He is dependent. Agree with me? That's not how you should understand. That is very curious. Inside, he has no dependence whatsoever. In other words, Swami Ramtita is a beautiful anecdote. He says, a fellow had to go back to his village from his work. Every day through a forest, he goes from his village to work and comes back. So he has to get back early, otherwise wild animals come out in the night. So one day he got delayed. While he was coming, he heard a lot of noise. So he got worried and he climbed the tree. One animal came and sat down because he knows he will come down. When he comes down, I'll eat him. And the branch could not take his weight. The branch was bending, it was about to break. And if it breaks, he will fall into a river that is flowing nearby. Yes. There is the crocodile opening his mouth to follow this fellow. On the same branch, there is a bird that is perched. He says, is the bird worried that the branch is going to break? Why?
It can fly.
Because it can fly away. It has wings. That wings we do not have. The things Jnani has is this knowledge. Are you with me? The knowledge is there, therefore no dependence. There is an insulation between himself and the Sharira. Sharira here means Stula Sharira and Sukshma Sharira, both. Cross and subtle bodies. This is an installation. Electrician. Sometimes he doesn't even switch on the mains. He plays about with the wire. You ask him, should I switch on the mains? He says, no, no, no. He knows, firstly, he has knowledge. Secondly, the wire is insulated. He touches only that portion. Right? He knows how to deal with it. So this is the insulation is there in him. Not at all dependent on anything. He is totally self-sufficient, ever content. Meaning he is happy in the present as it is. Now again this is misunderstood. lot of people say, oh, as it is, that means I shouldn't do anything to better it. That is not what I'm saying. You cannot attain or do something worthwhile which will give you happiness if you do it unhappily. How can unhappiness bring about happiness? You do action unhappily, will that bring happiness result? It can't. Right? You have to do it happily. Nitya truptaha, nirashayaha. A jnani does it with total contentment. Now again, the Western concept is, if you are contented, your progress will stop. If you are contented, your progress will stop. That's what he is asking you. Right? We were discussing that. If you are contented, the progress will stop. You should not be contented. There, confusion is here. At the moment, there is a situation. Right? When Vedanta says be contented with the situation, what it says is accept both good and bad situation that you are in now. All, totally. That acceptance gives you a mental freedom to deal with it. When the Western thinking says don't be content, then you will not progress. What they mean by that is accepting it as a status quo. Do you understand what I'm saying? Today some situation is there which is not a good situation to be in. If I accept that, I say yeah, it will be like that. I have not just, then I will not do anything to better it. Are you with me? I am today in a gutter, living in a gutter. If I accept that, then I will not want to get out of the gutter.
So that's one kind of acceptance.
Yeah, but what Vedanta is saying is, Vedanta is not saying that accept that as a thing where you will
progress.
Understand that in life you will sometimes be in gutter. Accept that.
Yes.
The moment you accept that, your mind develops the freedom to deal with it, to grow. If you don't accept, you resist. Why am I in gutter? This thing, that thing. Then you are fighting with it. Compared to a person who is not fighting with it, you are actions will be impoverished. Because he is not mentally fighting. He is not accepted that as a permanent thing. I have to be in control, that is the right thing. I have accepted as my fate. I have been thrown into his life. No, really.
Yeah. Many people are less.
See this, you replace this with relationship. Then you will understand what I am talking about. You accept that that's it, this is my life. Some people talk like that. Youngsters say, what rubbish is all this? You understand? Why do I have to accept this as my life? If you accept, then you are finished. That's why I said, don't go to the Swamis. But the Swamis are not, if at all, is somebody who is saying it. He is not saying it in that angle. He is saying, mentally don't resist. Because if you resist, you will form a karma cycle. That karma cycle, even though you may divorce, let us say, in a married relationship, in the next marriage also, you will continue to have some sort of similar experience.
So Guruji, one acceptance is like a state of resignation.
Yes.
It's a resignation. The other acceptance is without mentally resisting, but allowing oneself to come out of it and grow.
Yes.
So then that acceptance is driven by a positive desire to get out of it and grow as well.
Yes. What we say is, growth will happen because your action continues. Here, you are not doing any action at all. Because you resign. You accepted your defeat. Accepting your defeat is different from accepting defeat in life. Do you understand what I am saying? I have accepted that I have lost. I have given in. And I continue in that situation as a slave. That is not what Vedanta is saying. But accept in life, defeat is part and parcel. So that you do not ask, why me? Why did I lose? Now what will happen is you will start thinking, what did I learn from this losing? The mentality of acceptance, the word Vedanta talks about, gives you this question, so what did I learn from this? Loss, you will keep on correcting. So you will convert the loss into a victory. You need to do a victory with that acceptance. But this acceptance, which people understand as Vedanta is saying, is resignation, is conceding my defeat. That is a dangerous thing. A lot of people are fighting without the acceptance that Vedanta is talking about. They, even though they may conquer, they still continue to be in the state of agitation. Because in their mind, they are resisting defeat. The resistance of defeat, even though they are apparently succeeding because they are doing something, in their mind the fear is there that I will have to face defeat sometime. You understand what I'm saying? So Vedanta says, don't resist, accept. When it says don't resist, accept, it means you accepting defeat as a part of life. Life is both peak and valley. Life at times will keep you in peak, at times will keep you in valley. There can't be only peak without valley. It is not possible. So accept defeat as also part of your life. That is different from accepting your defeat, conceding your defeat. That means you are accepting that status as final. Then you are saying, if at all the nature will change anything, and thereby I can have better condition, I am fine. But I am not going to do anything. This is what you are saying by that acceptance. There is a tamasic acceptance. That is not what Vedanta does. What so many people say, don't accept, fight. When they fight without accepting the defeat as a part of life, then they are constantly trying to run behind peak, but they will be constantly worried about valley following them. So in spite of all their achievement, they will still continue to be agitated. Whereas here, you are not fighting with valley or peak. You are continuing to do what you have to do. So you are not being mentally tortured by valley or peak or defeat or success. This is the difference. The word accept is a problem. So word content is the problem. So when in Vedanta when they say contentment, they mean being contented in both success and failure. That is the difference. Once this is clear, then you know why they are saying this. Because with the resistance when you fight, thereafter even when situations become alright, you are constantly worried.
Is this what you say, making peace with the situation and then moving on? That's what you're trying to say.
Yes. Making peace in the situation, then moving on means what? In fact, you will move on only when you make peace. With understanding that life is both the polarities. Life itself means both the polarities. But if you see how we live, we want to only live with one polar, one side. All the time joy, all the time happiness, no disease, no nothing. Very good weather all the time. Not just in the nature, in the family members also. Good weather should always prevail. You understand? All the time, you are not accepting the opposite. Therefore, you are not contented. The moment you accept the opposite, you become contented. Only a contented person can do something positive. So when you compare to the tamasic contentment, rajasic discontentment, rajasic non-acceptance is much better. But understand, beyond the rajasic discontentment, there is something called a sattvic acceptance or contentment. It is accepting both success and failure as
rajasic non-acceptance is resisting the
failure. Yes. Resisting the failure. Resisting the defeat. So that fellow will come up. But deep inside, he will be scared. Any minute, he will go back to that. Whereas this fellow is also coming up, but he is not at all scared. If nature tomorrow throws him in failure, he is okay. That's what it means to say ever content, not dependent on the result. So the difference between a workaholic and a Vedanta is this. A workaholic is dependent on the result. A Vedanta also works, from outside it looks, he is also like a workaholic. But he is not at all dependent on the result. That's the difference.
पूर्णमिदं पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।